Legislative Committee to order for November 9th. First item is to confirm the quorum. Can I get a, thank you, can I get an approval of the minutes of October?
So move.
Thank you, October 12th, moved by McKenzie, seconded by, I think by LaCaro. Was that a grunt or a, okay, that was a grunt, but it also a second. Any objection to the motion? The motion will pass without objection. Sadly, go to item three.
Good morning, Commissioner Haggerty, Commissioners Rebecca Long, MTC staff. We do have quite a bit of good news on the election front, though there is some where we're still waiting on bated breath, of course. On terms of our Bay Area delegation and our local elections, several of our commissioners were reelected, and we're very happy about that. Commissioner Bates and Commissioner Mullen, of course, has been elected to the California State Assembly, and former Commissioner Jim Bell has been elected to the State Senate. In terms of our congressional representatives, we do have a new member of our delegation, Congressman Swalwell, and I know Commissioner Worth was an early supporter of his. I don't know if you'd like to say a word or two about that.
I'd be happy to. As you know, we have not had a member of the Transportation Committee on from the Bay Area for several years, and I know this is one of his priorities was to be engaged in transportation. So hopefully that we'll be able to continue that. So
yeah, great.
Your chair was also an early supporter of Councilmember Swalwell, now Congressman.
Excellent. Well, well
piling,
done,
piling
Chair
on.
Haggerty.
If I'd been anywhere close to him, I would have been.
I'm sure everybody would have at this point.
Additionally, Jared Huffman is taking over for Representative Lynn Woolsey, who is retiring after 20 years in office. In terms of Sacramento, the big news is it looks like Democrats have a two-thirds majority in both the Assembly and the State Senate. I think this has come as somewhat of a surprise. This is really as a result of the new districts. One of the, I think, most significant aspects of this may well enable us to finally get a constitutional amendment on the two-thirds voter threshold for special taxes at the local level. So that's certainly something that's been on our legislative program forever. Oftentimes it's felt like it's a more symbolic aspect of our ledge program, but particularly in the event that the Alameda County measure as well as LA's measure does not make that two-thirds threshold, I think we'll have a very good shot at that next year. And Randy's going to speak to that more in the next item on our ledge program. In terms of other local measures, of course, we are still waiting on the Alameda County measure, which is extremely close. Provisional ballots are still being counted. Chair Haggerty, would you like to add anything? I'm sure you have more current information than any of
us.
Well,
yeah, yesterday we lost 0.2% of vote, so we are going in the wrong direction at this point. But there's still a lot of votes. They know there's still a lot of votes from the Oakland area, which is an area in which we did good. And the reason they know that is because it's ranked choice voting, and the envelopes are actually a different color. So there is still hope.
Okay. We will all keep our fingers crossed. In terms of some good news, Napa County's measure did pass by a 74% margin. As you all know, that measure is limited to local street and road repairs. So clearly, potholes were a concern of Napa County residents. That's estimated to raise about $11 million a year. And it's a 25-year measure. There were also a few general sales taxes that were passed in the city of Orinda and the town of Moraga. Those are general taxes, but certainly I think the intent is to put a significant share into transportation. And then as far as Los Angeles goes, they were seeking a 30-year extension of their one of their existing sales taxes. So it was going to be 30 years beyond 2039. And unfortunately, that does look like it's likely failed. It's around 64.7% support. So I did see my counterpart of LA Metro yesterday in an event, and he said he was in mourning and definitely fired up to change that voter threshold in Sacramento. As far as statewide measures, of course, Proposition 30 passed. That doesn't have a direct impact on transportation, but we are definitely breathing a sigh of relief, not only for those of us with kids in schools, but you know, for transportation, it does relieve pressure on any of the funding that might be still vulnerable to diversions to the general fund. Prop 39, which is the corporate tax change that's going to mostly fund clean energy projects, may also have some benefit to transportation in terms of, you know, electric vehicles, charging stations, and the like. So we'll be tracking any subsequent legislation that's going to be adopted for that measure. We also have in the handout just some interesting kind of statistics analysis of the Bay Area versus the rest of the state in terms of some of the big statewide measures, and you can see how we really helped carry a number of them to victory, or not, in some cases. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you. Before we go to questions, Mayor Green, is there anything you wanted to add about Measure B? As you were the chair of that committee?
Well, I was looking at the precinct map totals last night in our county. And as I was telling both Scott and Amy here, is that unfortunately the tally as of last night was that on the east side of the hills, out of three cities, we had one precinct to actually give us the two-thirds. Was it up to two now?
I think it was two.
No, I only saw one. Unless okay. There was a hidden one out there somewhere in the east. But
okay.
It got a little better as we came around the southern part of the county. I think Fremont had 8 out of 80. We had only one-third of ours in Union City and sort of crept upward. But it was a pretty solid block in the flatlands from the Contra Costa County border through the city of San Leandro. Then it got a little sketchy again in some spots. But we did, I think, with Tom, I think that, I mean, I just hit one up at random up there. I think there was something around the campus that had a 90% plus on it in Berkeley. So certainly the northern part of the county was heavily in favor of it. I was talking with our executive director about it yesterday. My own perception of things was that perhaps our campaign itself could have been better. That's understating it. I think in a personal conversation, I'd get much more vivid descriptions from him. But I think that the campaign could have been better. Even if we are not able to get a two-thirds change in the state law, which I've always thought that was crazy. That's what constitutional amendments held up for, two-thirds. Anything else is nuts. But even if we don't do that, my early call on that would be, or suggestion would be to those making that move at some point, would be to just do damn their torpedoes and get this back up as soon as possible and just run a better campaign. Because when it's, I mean, like Tony Scott here, I think that if I had to make a prediction here at 10:25 on Friday, is that I think we'll end up probably in the low 66s. Yeah, I know it's tough. I think we should just go ahead and do it again. Without reopening the whole can of worms, I don't think it was perpetuity. I don't think it was another half cent. And of course, the other moral of the story is, which we don't, and you can't control this moral. Not the one I'm really controlling, the moral crowd anyway. But you don't know if you're going to be up at any time against the state proposition. And the state can wait till 11 o'clock the night before the deadline and slam something together. But in our process, and Scott was heavily involved with it also, since Scott Haggerty in this case, we basically had a year and a half to ramp up on this. And I think that, again, since we've already done the ramping up, and it's shown very strong appeal in most parts of the county. And even, as I was mentioning to Art yesterday, even though it didn't get a tremendous amount of support on paper in parts of the county, then when you break down the precinct by precinct results, even then it wasn't like it was failing 20% to 80%. You were getting 66, 65s, 59s, 58s, even though they're shrunk as red on the map. They were still a majority people wanting to see this go forward. So I think the message is clear. Yes, they wanted this in Alameda County. I think we could have delivered the message better with the amount of money that we had. And I would say we just do it again. So that's my call on it.
I tend to agree with you about getting right back out to the voters, and I do agree with you about the campaign, too. Having said that, are there any questions? Commissioner Bates.
Well, maybe I could jump in on this discussion, Mark. I appreciate your comments. You know, looking at the results would indicate that obviously the South County did not support this. And the North County did support it. And I think that we had this happen once before when we went out and we lost and we came right back. And I think it needs to come back. And I would certainly support that. I think that we need to take another look at, however, the way it was put together. I think that even though you may not agree, but I think having a half-cent sales tax in perpetuity was not a good idea. I think it brings unnecessary opposition that could be avoided. You know, it's fiscally, is that right? Do anybody want to put something in place forever? I don't know. I think that was a major. And then there was some concerns about some of the projects that were put forward. So I think a rescale and eliminating that provision, maybe have it last for 10 years or 15 years and then come off, with some sort of citizen oversight would mean that we'd have a good chance of passing.
Yeah, probably better debate to have this at ACTC, but I disagree with you, Commissioner Bates. I think the projects were right on target. I think when we talk about the campaign, there was really almost a non-existent campaign down in South and East County, and most of the focus was up in here, and I think that's why you see the fact that they did better up here. Also, you know, we can debate the in perpetuity, and that's, again, that's a better place at ACTC. However, I will tell you that the county two times has had an appetite to vote for tax measures in perpetuity, and one being our paramedics tax that we currently have in place. So there is an appetite on behalf of the Alameda County voters to do in perpetuity, and I think it was something that was well thought out and discussed. Anybody else? Commissioner McKenzie?
Just a quick comment going back to election results. We should all be aware that there are two new state legislative players involved in the nine Bay Area counties. Roanoke Park has the distinction of being linked with Far East Yolo County now, and Assembly Member Yamada was returned on Tuesday night and represents the city of Roanoke Park. So there's another state legislator who has an interest in our doings. And secondly, the cities of Petaluma and Roanoke Park now fall under the purview of Senator Lois Wolk. And she was returned on Tuesday night. I think that the incoming Congressman Hoffman, paired with longtime Congressman Thompson, while the districts changed there, we still have representation, in the Marin and Sonoma from both of these congressmen. But Thompson now represents Roanoke Park, for example. So there was some minor tweaking, but it's a major change for us in Roanoke Park, strangely enough. due to the redistricting activities. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Anybody else? Commissioner Sperry, yeah. And then Chair Tissier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the lowering the voter threshold, I really think we should have a full court press, and it should be single-focused, and we ought to identify who our allies are, and I think we need to move as quickly as we can. I don't think this supermajority, I think this window will close within 2 years. I really don't think it's going to be there long. And you know, we always make the assumption we think every Democrat walks lockstep. I don't think they do. And so, but I do think there's an opportunity, and, counties like Solano and I think L.A., I think you're going to have some strong allies statewide to really move this forward. But I think we need to be very aggressive, focused, and get on it right away and really incorporate our local jurisdictions, counties, cities, just everybody, and really move this as quick as we can.
Second.
All right. Well,
fourth.
Chair Tissier?
Just a quick comment, and I think Jim hit on it. We have some pretty strong transportation advocates that have been added to the Assembly and Senate. One is Jerry Hill, who went from Assembly to Senate, and then our own Kevin Mullen from the Commission here. And I think I was going to say the same thing. I think the sooner we get on this whole idea of, you know, simple majority would be very helpful. And I didn't hear Rebecca mentioning San Mateo County also just passed a half-cent sales tax, but it was a general tax. So it was goes into our general fund, which doesn't necessarily mean it couldn't be used on some transportation things. It probably have to be a nexus, but we were very happy with that because we've been pushing that for a very long time. So it hit the 65% threshold and only needed 50, so it was like our number one target. But I will say one thing, we did put a sunset, a 10-year sunset on it. And I do think for our county, I do think that made a difference because we've done that also with our transportation ones. And then if you do a good job during that period of time and you come back to it, you're more likely to get it passed the second time. So for what it's worth, we're very pleased in our county, and we've been doing the happy dance for the last couple of days.
All right. We'd like to see that happy dance at some point. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Commissioner Bates.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring a little sobriety to the discussion about the two-thirds. I'm sorry I missed some of the – I mean, I'm ecstatic that the Democrats have the two-thirds, but I think Randy and anybody who works in the Capitol will tell you that there are some Democrats that are Democrat in name only, and I think in the Senate, there's eight what they call business Democrats, which means that they're going to be difficult to get. So I think a package that we go forward with, we need to reach for what we'd like, but also understand that we might have to back off that and make some compromises and leave some room in there with our package to know how we're going to fall back and how we're going to be able to move forward.
Anybody else? Commissioner Wirth.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of follow up on some of the comments about where we might go. We, in our community in Orinda and Moraga, we both had these general sales taxes on the ballot. Both communities had tried to pass bonds in the past. You know, you can get the two-thirds for the schools, but not for the roads. And what's interesting about it, they are general taxes. The way they get passed, though, is that, you know, that the governing board said this is our intent, and that's all it can be. You know, there's a legal line in terms of general versus specific. The interesting thing about the Orinda Moraga has theirs was for 20 years, and they're gonna you know, borrow on their revenue. Now the risk to cities, of course, is that if they borrow and their sales tax revenue doesn't come in, then they have to pay out of the general fund, and that's a risk for a small city or any city. But the Orinda plan included, you know, this local sales tax, which basically increases our little paving budget by about 50%. But it's predicated in the long term on going back to the voters in 4 years and another, you know, 8 years with bonds to pay for. And so I guess that's the other thing that occurred to me. You know, we released our pavement, the PCI report, pavement condition report, last week, and cities across the Bay Area have, you know, the pavement condition in the Bay Area, as well as all of California, is really in, you know, terrible condition. And so that's the other thing I think we need to be mindful of, is how do we, going forward, provide, and I agree about the threshold. I really think that we need to focus on bringing, you know, supermajority or whatever, we like the school bonds. But that's the other issue is how do we provide money for local streets and roads investment, which I think can be paid for out of bonds. But, you know, the problem that we're going to start seeing, I think, in a lot of counties is this structure of the sales tax revenue, by the way, because it takes two-thirds, the kind of program packages that need to be put together to get that two-thirds, to even get them passed, is really has become a challenge. And I think lends itself to this challenge of the bond, the capital side of transportation. So I think that perhaps there will be I agree with the commissioners that we should really push for that. That's, you know, 55% or whatever it can be. Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Hearing and seeing none, we will move to item four, draft advocacy plan program.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, I think you've already started discussing it, so I'll try to be brief. Look, I think for context, you know, we do this each year at this time where we essentially bring you a draft program, which we are now looking for your advice, so we can bring you a final for your adoption next month. We also show this, of course, to all of our partners around the Bay Area, the CMAs, the transit districts, our own advisors as well. So what we try to do is get a broad brush to give everyone a fair crack and make a recommendation to you, which we'll do next month. I think what is different, as you've all pointed out, is that a two-thirds threshold in the California legislature is different. Now, we need to be cautious what they're going to do. Who knows? I think, I guess, rhino is the word for Republican in name only. I don't know what the Democrat one has been widely used, but I guess that's what we can call it. But if you look at the election across the state, folks got into either the Senate or the Assembly on some razor-thin margins. I also think that it's not normal to have a two-thirds vote in both houses, so I think, as some of you observed, this may only last for a short period of time. And I think the question for those who are there is, do they want to do something big with the time that they have and risk their future there, or do they want to just grind it out and take the risk of normal attrition? And I don't think we have the answer to that question. I do think, though, that the kind of recommendations we've given you in the past were really predicated on the fact that we always had a difficulty getting anything done up there. So I think this is a chance for us to think big, and I encourage you to give us that direction if you so decide. Getting into the details on our LEDGE program, we start with the state. It's the first page in landscape. There is going to be a cap and trade discussion in Sacramento. The direction that you gave us last summer was really twofold. One is to try to stay in the game best we can with the revenues that are going to be available, but also focus long-term on getting the transportation monies, which is really the fuels dedicated to transportation. I think what's going to happen is this year the budget is going to articulate an amount of money that's going to likely be available. They're going to pass an appropriation of that amount, and they're going to likely identify a three-year plan for that. So in the near term, we want to get focused on cap and trade. We want to get some money for transportation, even if they don't get into fuels. So that's our first recommendation here. So it's really a budget strategy and a long-term strategy to try to nail down the fuels portion for transportation, but to always stay in the game no matter what. On the second item, the state budget, Prop 30 did help us. It's important to note that most of transportation money is dedicated to transportation as a result of initiatives and others that have been run, but there is some important sliver of state transit assistance money that comes to public transit, which is not protected. They could take it. It's about a third of the $420 million that we get. I think the passage of Prop 30 has significantly helped us protect that revenue source. The legislature has given it to us the past couple of years. Item three, turning the page, we have a specific item here for you to respond to, but it gets to trying to increase transportation funding throughout. And although half-cent sales taxes are passing, cities are passing things for streets and roads, I think the fact of the matter is we need a strong state revenue program for transportation. We need it. If we don't going to get it, we're not going to fix our problem. We do have a serious problem. Here is a specific one, which a lot of the transportation folks around the state are coalescing around, which is to reestablish the vehicle license fee, the old VLF, that was once at a 2% level and was reduced, as you know, by legislative action, that we would reestablish it at a 2% level and dedicate those funds for transportation. Now, in full disclosure, I think you all know the VLF was once a general fund item for cities. And just like the sales tax on gasoline was once a general fund item for the state, the transportation interest went and got it. Here's another example of that happening. And so I want to point that out. I know that you all represent a lot of local government as well. As far as the details of this, how you break up the money, I think the state now has had two incidences where they talk about a split of 40% going to the state highway program through the STIP, 40% going to local streets and roads, and 20% going to transit. We happen to recommend here that we ought to maybe think about a third, a third, a third, get a little bit more transit money out of this deal. The Bay Area does better with transit as compared to the rest of the state, so on selfish grounds, it's in our interest. But there is a mode split. It's consistent with the actions you're taking on the long-range plan as well. So I just want to point this out to you for your consideration and your thoughts. Of course, we have lower the threshold as 3B here as well. I think that it's been a long-term effort of ours, and perhaps this is the year we can get something done on it. Item four is maybe a little bit too much inside baseball, but the last time the state of California had to do a significant statute change was when ICE-T was passed back in the early 1990s. Because MAP 21 made significant enough changes, we're going to have to run a bill. There's going to be a bill introduced. And our objective here is to try to do as best as we can in the existing STP programs that the commission allocates. Mostly those funds are going to the OBAG program on the CMAQ side as well. And also what we once knew is the T program, the old Transportation Enhancements Program, now has a new acronym called TAP, the Transportation Alternative Program. There's going to be some state law to give some guidance about how that's allocated as well. So we're in the mix on that. Of course, it's not too surprising. We're seeing a bit of an urban rural split taking place on this, but we'll see what we can do to overcome that. Item five is CEQA. As you know, the commission often tries to work with others to get things done. In this case, the Silicon Valley Leadership Group has been way out front on CEQA, trying to get a bill passed. They've asked us to join their coalition. I'm not going to go through them just in the interest of time right now, but there's seven specific items listed here that we would focus on. Many of these items have to deal with other work that you're doing, such as the PDAs, and to try to remove the CEQA impediment that is often being gamed, as opposed to just, we're not suggesting we don't have a review, we're just saying, look, if there's existing state standards because laws have passed subsequent to the passage of CEQA, look, we have a standard to turn to, and CEQA shouldn't be used as leverage or a delay tactic in order to get things done. We're going to bring you a specific bill for you to consider because there's going to be one. So this isn't the only time you're going to get your oar in the water on this. Also, I guess as a digression, all of these items give us kind of a hunting license in Sacramento to go work on bills and try to influence the legislature best we can. Well, you're going to see specific bills on many things as well. So if you want to wait for specific bills and you don't want to take it now, look, that's your prerogative to do so, and that's the kind of direction that your staff needs. On project delivery, we still believe that projects take too long. There's still too many impediments to them. We believe we ought to make some reforms to that, and we're hopeful that something can get done. Turning the page, item 7, Senate Bill 375, implementation. There is some money up in Sacramento that resulted from Prop 1C, which was a 2006 ballot. Those funds had been allocated to certain redevelopment districts around the state. When they changed redevelopment law, they were unable to get this done, so there's money available. We want to go chase that money. A big one, which usually goes under the rubric of what do we do now that redevelopment is gone, is likely to get back in the mix. A bill was passed last year. It was vetoed. We don't know what the governor's true intentions are. It seems to move a little bit. I think he wants redevelopment to kind of die and be buried and then maybe think about it later. I do think that redevelopment was predicated to a certain extent on providing housing opportunities for people. And absent redevelopment, providing housing opportunities and the kind of objectives you're trying to seek in your plan is going to be a tall order for many cities. Our view here is we ought to do something on tax increment financing, which is what redevelopment fundamentally is, to try to do something focused on housing. That's item 7B. Bridge toll revenue, maybe a little too much in the weeds here, but Golden Gate Bridge is moving toward a license plate identification program in order to pay your tolls. You don't even need fast track. They're going to have no cash. The issue of making sure all cars have plates and we have a system where we can have fairness for all toll payers does matter. We don't have a perfect system in this state. Other states are doing it better. We probably should make some more progress on that item as well. Item 9, carpool lanes. We had a bill last year that made the news, but our objective here is to keep the carpool lanes for travel time savings for those who carpool and to protect those lanes for a future hot network as well. Item 10, parking policy reforms, is always a pretty hot subject, often for reasons that deal with the negotiations that cities do with developers. There's going to be a workshop sponsored by Assembly Skinner's office in this room starting at 1:30. But we do think that some parking policy reforms could be helpful for the kind of projects that are being considered in the PDAs. School siting reform is a new issue for us, but if you went through the whole code of school siting, you find out the easiest place to build a school is in a greenfield someplace. And, of course, we also do a Safe Routes to School program. We want schools to be near the kids, so we're kind of engaging on a new subject here to start to identify some reforms that we can get so schools can be sited in places where people actually live, and it's not so hard to get the kids there. I'll stop there before I move on to the federal program.
All right. I would have preferred we do it all, but...
Oh, no, that's fine.
Go ahead. Let's do the state. Any comments on the state? Commissioner Sparing?
I was just going to say that I think if we can get a read on what the leadership's objectives are in this next session, and then if we can tailor what our requests are to help facilitate what their goals are. And for instance, you know, if SB 375 implementation, finding funds for that, lowering that threshold does find funds for that. And so I think that we have to make those types of linkage. I agree with Tom. I think we have to have a position that we're going to be flexible on. But I think that that lower threshold, you know, as you go through this, really is going to help accomplish many of the objectives that the legislature may have. And so I think we need to make that nexus. And, you know, I'm just not in favor of taking all these issues on. I really think we got to focus on that issue and put together our SWAT team, so to speak, and really try and make a difference and see if we can get it passed.
Commissioner, I would just like all of you to be thinking about that question. I mean, first of all, we put this program together before we knew there was a two-thirds majority. Secondly, if you look at item three, it could very well be, as Commissioner Bates said, that A and B here are in tension. And I think A might or might not be a tougher one to pass, but we might only get one of them. So which one is more important? And that's not a rhetorical question. I think that's a question that admits of two answers. So that's one of the kinds of things we'd like you to be thinking about between today and next month, so that we can have some sense of priority about what we really ought to be shooting for.
Anybody else? Commissioner Wirth.
Thank you. I've got a couple of comments. One, I agree with the, you know, figuring out where we have our most opportunities and strategically going forward with the state. You know, we're going to need to also make that distinction between capital investment and operations investment. I think that one may be a easier sell in Sacramento than the other. The other thing is I'm really concerned. I know that there's a lot of push for parking reform, and I understand that's one of those policies that plays out very differently whether you're in an urban environment that has transit or a, you know, kind of semi-urban county that doesn't have access to transit. So when you start changing parking policies, it impacts local. There's a lot of concern, as you know, on this issue relative to cities. And, you know, I hate us to get into a fight when we're going to need the cities across the state to sort of help us come together on, say, issues like streets and roads and this transit threshold. You know, I'm concerned again with this ongoing fight between the League of California Cities and on this parking issue. And frankly, we're going to be looking at all of these broader reforms, whether it's CEQA, all these focuses that are around PDAs, and we need the partnership of the cities to be able to do some of those things. So, you know, I'm concerned about us pushing. You know, again, going back, it's a little bit like Groundhog Day in terms of going back to the same struggle, and I think we're going to need the league as we go forward, as opposed to wanting to be in opposition with them.
Well, look, we understand that. I think there's two things for each of you to understand. We don't need to put anything in our ledge program because you're likely to get a bill to respond to that we can come back with detail. I think the issue, as you bring up with parking, is that often people read into it their own view, and if you put parking down, you know, folks are wondering what you're doing. I think the most important thing to understand about parking, or at least that I take for myself, is often the cities are in negotiation with developers, and they have zoning there not for the purposes of creating restrictions, but for the purposes of having a negotiation. And if they lose that ability to negotiate by a change in state law, it's not that they're talking about parking. They're not talking about parking at all. They're talking about leverage. And so I think that bills like this do come at it with a lot of issues behind the scenes, so we understand that.
Commissioner Wirth, if I could just comment too on the workshop that's happening today. It's not sponsored by Assembly Member Skinner, who has not yet made up her mind if she wants to hold or carry a bill next year. It's actually sponsored jointly by MTC and the American Planning Association, who actually opposed the bill last year. And the real objective of the workshop, the league is going to be there. There are also some developers that are going to be there, is to better vet, you know, in a more kind of in-depth way what the concerns are and really find some common ground. So, you know, I couldn't agree with you more that we need to be working with local government on this. This can't be a one-size-fits-all solution, but, you know, perhaps there are some ways in which state law could help in transit-rich locations reduce minimum parking requirements for certain kinds of development. So, you know, that's kind of the idea. But, again, we absolutely want to find consensus, and that's the goal of the workshop today.
Okay. Mr. Stamps, who are you? You prefer to speak about school siting, correct?
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and speak, because that's a state issue, and that's what we're talking about.
Thank you, Commissioner Haggerty and Commissioners, thank you very much. Good morning. My name is Jamar Stamps, Contra Costa County Department of Conservation and Development staff. I just wanted to say real quickly on the school siting issue that we do very much appreciate MTC picking this up on their legislative platform. This is something that we've been tracking for years now, and we do have many resources and things like that we could provide with to MTC if need be. So, again, we very much appreciate you picking it up. It's important that MTC and the locals stay focused on this issue, because if the state were left to their own devices, we personally feel that it would stagnate and eventually go away if nobody pays attention. So again, we very much appreciate MTC picking that up. And one more thing real quick on the parking policy. Thank you, Commissioner Worth, for mentioning that, and staff as well. This is something that we've been tracking for the past couple of years now. AB 710 was its original form, and then it reincarnated into 904. So, we've been paying attention to it, and we do agree that there is no one-size-fits-all solution. We do agree that local governments need to have the ability to provide some flexibility in creating these types of projects, developments, transit-oriented development, and things like that. So, again, we appreciate you guys tracking that, too. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Mayor, did you want to speak under state or federal?
Both.
I'm going to hold you then, okay? All right, Randy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving to D.C. real quick, a few basic things you've seen before. There is a pre-tax transportation benefit that we want to get equal with parking. Parking currently has a $240 tax break. Transit has $125. We'd like to make them equal. Equal means raise transit, but look, taxes are going to be in the mix, and maybe a lot of breaks are going to get thrown overboard, so we may be swimming up against the stream on this one. On the appropriation side, we are working under a six-month continuing resolution that needs to be trued up with the existing MAP 21 bill. There's a lot of inconsistency there. A lot of this stuff is kind of in the weeds for us that we do. We want to make sure you know what we're doing with respect to that. On appropriations, each year we seek appropriations, trying to focus on some of the discretionary programs that exist. Discretionary used to mean congressional, but discretionary kind of now means administration, because they're making a lot of the decisions on discretionary projects. We want to focus on our Resolution 3434, New Starts type projects there. We're kind of in the mix on this next-gen advanced air traffic control system. Those folks around the country who are kind of beating this drum asked us to join them. The airport in San Francisco, this is a big deal for them. If they can get some more capacity by having some better technology, it's not too dissimilar to putting metering lights on the highways. Technology can help us maximize what we got versus trying to build more. And on the airlines, they got to get this done. So they asked us to support. Being the SFO, airport is a big one. We're suggesting to you that we do so. The last one, item three, really at its core has to do with internet shopping versus brick-and-mortar shopping. And a federal solution to this is probably what's needed, because people shop in one state and live in another. And so the idea here is that the sales tax of the state that you reside in would be the sales tax that would be collected. So if you're shopping in Maine and they have no, and you're a Californian, but they don't have a brick-and-mortar place in California, you can get that tax-free right now. This does affect transportation in a big way, because sales taxes are the fundamental revenue source that subsidizes public transit in California. And there are some exceptions. In Marin County, it's tolls. In San Francisco, it's a lot of general fund. But for everyone else, it's sales tax. So if we're eroding our sales tax base, it's one of the reasons why we keep asking for more, because our amount per the economy is going down. So that's our federal side for you.
Mr. Mayor, you want to come up?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Guillermo Mayer. I'm a senior staff attorney with Public Advocates. And we wanted to comment and share some thoughts on the 2013 advocacy program. Over the next couple of days, we're going to be sharing with commissioners and staff recommendations on how we can complement and strengthen this advocacy program to get increased levels of funding that our transit agencies desperately need, and specifically we're talking about funding for transit operations. As we know too well, operating funds are very scarce in this region, and we're not going to be able to meet our ridership goals, our greenhouse gas reduction goals, our equity goals, job creation goals, and economic goals if we can't afford to operate at full capacity our existing trains and buses and keep fares low. And over the past years, we've all witnessed, from San Jose to Marin to the East Bay and San Francisco, transit service get cut, fares go up, transit workers get laid off, or hiring freezes in place. And it's a time we need to come up with a plan to meet that challenge. We think that there are very ripe opportunities at both at the state level and at the federal level to increase the sources for operating funds. Cap and trade is definitely one of them, and we would strongly encourage the commission to seek funding for transit operations during the cap and trade revenue negotiations. And what better way to reduce greenhouse gases to generate future generations of riders than to make sure that transit is frequent in those areas where we see increased ridership and unmet demand. We also think that there are opportunities at the federal level. We got very close in the reauthorization in MAP 21 in restoring flexibility so that federal funds could be used during hard economic times to pay for transit operations. And this was a proposal that was supported by President Obama and his administration. It was supported by the majority of the Democratic leadership in the U.S. Senate. It was supported by the overwhelming majority of the Bay Area congressional delegation. This was a bill sponsored by Representative Carnahan out of Missouri. And unfortunately, it failed at the very last minute of the negotiations, and it didn't come in, but it was one effort to eliminate this attitude at the federal level that you're basically on your own when it comes to transit operations, and we strongly encourage this commission to support a change in that federal policy. So we look forward to sharing you these recommendations in greater detail over the next coming weeks. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Commissioner LaCaro?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Randy, thank you for the report. I had a question about an item that I know is of concern to a committee in MTC that meets very rarely. That's the RAPC, relating to the allocation of congestion among the airports. And it's certainly no secret San Francisco is really bursting at the seams, while Oakland and San Jose have considerable slack capacity. There had been some conversation around congestion pricing to encourage flights that I know that, you know, talking to folks in San Francisco, they'd love to see more international flights. They can't get in there because they're jammed with domestic flights. I'm sure there'd be happy recipients of those domestic flights at smaller airports in Oakland and San Jose. And so the primary obstacle to that being implemented, I understand, is in the FAA. And I understand that, you know, this may take additional conversation, but it would be worth a conversation at least with folks on RAPC to see whether or not this is worth getting into our draft advocacy program to explore FAA's openness to yielding slot control or allowing for some kind of congestion pricing scheme to be experimented with at least as a pilot here in the Bay Area.
Commissioner, we'd be happy to consider that and talk with you and that committee further. One little bit of optimism maybe on that, and as you know, this issue's been around for quite some time. It dates back, at least in my experience, to when Willie Brown was running the State Assembly. And what you're suggesting is eminently sensible, but essentially preempted. The FAA administrator is Michael Huerta, who actually is a former port director in San Francisco. And he also worked with us in a later life running our fast track program. So he's quite familiar with us and vice versa. And maybe the notion that you suggest of some kind of pilot getting this idea tested somewhere would perhaps break the barrier.
I recognize this isn't ready for prime time, but is it possible this could get into a draft advocacy in the advocacy program at some point? do we have an opportunity to have that conversation with RAPC? I don't know. I can't remember what their schedule is, or if they even have a meeting at that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but I think at the very least what we can do between now and December is reach out to some of the constituent members of that and obviously to the three airports and see what they think about it and bring the results of that back to you in December.
Great. I appreciate that. Sure. And then just to briefly weigh in on the state issue, if we're choosing between 3A and 3B, my strong preference is for 3B. I recognize the need for the higher vehicle license fee, but I think, you know, Schwarzenegger ran on the issue of reducing it because it was incredibly unpopular. And as much as I regret that he did so, I think that's a very heavy lift to prevail before the voters. I feel much more confident about our individual counties prevailing locally.
Anybody else? I agree. Commissioner Hallstatt agrees. All right. I think it is. I think it is, Ann. I think it is. All right. If there's no other comments, we will move to the federal legislation 5A, which is Mr. Bolger's report.
It's just this one page here, but there's nothing further to report.
Okay. I would like to thank staff for giving us a little time to allow us to talk through issues today. It kind of gave a little bit of discussion in relationship to legislation. I'm sure it was calculated because you knew you wanted some level of input, so I want to thank you for that. And maybe the other committee Friday chairs could continue that allocation of time for us. With that, we are adjourned.
Thank you.